Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
We're rolling out the Monday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 6478-373 is the number to do that. If not, free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. And if you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, the blog will go up over there on Wednesdays and Saturdays, so if you're a little behind or whatever, by check out what's going on over there. You got to get all caught up. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, go ahead and hit that link. Get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, hey, we greatly appreciate that. But don't forget, we also have the Twitter feed, which is Sports Time Radio. Now, Dan and I are on Twitter. Well, I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man.
Dan Z Man was.
So, all right, we made it to March 1st, and we actually some football yesterday. You watched any spring training games?
Were they nationally televised?
The White Sox game was on the network yesterday, that NBC Sports Network Chicago. And then, you know, the MLB network basically chose them around the clock. So.
I was not aware of that. No, I honestly tuned into the race yesterday.
You did? You tuned into what? You were a little covered up there. I didn't hear you.
The race. I was watching NASCAR.
Cool. So, yeah, you know, I went back and forth, you know, and obviously it's the first, you know, games of spring training. So, you know, the regulars, I was surprised that the White Sox regulars got as many bats as they did. I think some of them got three, but, you know, no, there, I recognized any of the pitchers that I saw them use, you know, and I just flipped back and forth between the race and the game just because it was baseball and I wanted to see a little of it. And, you know, like the Yankee Blue Jay game was on first. So, you know, I watched that so I could hear some of my, my buddy Michael Kay. So, you know, that's kind of how it goes. But yeah, obviously, you know, nothing groundbreaking these first days. I think the Cubs open today, but I don't know. I would assume it would be on marquee because they, you know, what else are they going to show? But I don't know for a fact if it was on or not. Or, you know, I know the White Sox were the MLB Network game, so I watched a little bit of that. But, you know, again, nothing. You know, it's nothing, you know, nothing that you've got to write home about or anything like that. I mean, it's just baseball, and I give credit to anybody who could watch an entire spring training game, even though some of them are only, apparently they could shorten them to 5 or 7 innings. So, I don't know if you knew that.
I mean, let's be honest. When it comes to spring training, does it really need to be 9 innings? You know, I'm not saying you start pulling out the man on second if they go into extra innings, which, oddly, it's kind of odd that they just call the game, right, in spring training? They just call it.
Yeah.
Not that that's odd, but I just don't understand the philosophy and why, you know, whatever. But, you know, the spring training game really need to be 9 innings. No pitchers going 9 innings. You know, no position players even batting for nine innings. So, you know, I think if you can get in five innings, and it's, you know, it is what it is. Just get it over with. You know, I mean, TV-wise, it really doesn't make a difference. I think for the fans that are in attendance, you know, get it done early. Let the fans do a little bit of mingling with the players. And, well, I guess, you know, for this year, when we get back to normal, right? You know, let the fans do a little bit of mingling, get some autographs, some signed balls and whatnot, and call it a day.
And, well, apparently, it appears as though the Cubs are going to have, or are at least planning to have, fans in the stands. As you know, for this season or whatever's going to happen, you know, with just kind of the way I heard some guys talking today at the place I go to work out, he was explaining that he got his, you know, his season tickets and how they were, but you know, it was kind of interesting because they're planning on having fans, but he's not sure how it's going to work, you know, if they'll be in, or you know how it, you know how it's going to work for them. So
yeah, I mean, I think with like the season ticket holders, my understanding was it's some almost like a lottery for the games you want to get, because you know, with the limited seating arrangements due to COVID. I mean, if you watched the Rays yesterday, you know, good for them, they were able to get some fans in the crowd, but you know, it's so bizarre because it seemed like a packed house, but then again, when they zoom in a little bit more, you can see how everyone's sectioned off.
So, yeah, and, you know, there are fans at spring training games. I saw a lot of people on my Twitter feed, you know, be it either their tweets themselves or just, you know, retweeting something, complaining about how a lot of them weren't wearing masks. So I was, you know, I was just kind of like, yeah, well, you know, there was like a couple that seemed to get singled out by this one group of, you know, Twitter people, and they were sitting together without masks on. And I was just kind of like, did you ever think maybe they're married? So they, you know, kind of know what's going on. That's why they didn't put masks on, you know, 'cause it was a man and a woman. So, you know, or they're in some, you know, some type of relationship where, you know, obviously they know neither has, you know, COVID, or they're sitting together and they weren't by anybody else. So
yeah,
that was
the odd thing.
But how people get.
Yeah, I mean, that's the problem with this niche culture that we live in today. Like, okay, if you're not in, if you don't live in Miami, you're not there, then what is it, you know, like, what is it your worry? I just don't understand that, you know, like,
yeah.
You know, I mean, and it goes back to the World Series of last year. Or was it last year?
Yeah, there was a World Series last year.
Or, no, I'm trying to think. Maybe it was when, you know, the first games in Washington, when Mr. We All Have to Wear a Mask for the Next 2 Years throughout the first pitch, and then is filmed seated in the stands with two other people with no mask on. Well, I mean, it was below his chin, but, I mean, he had it on, whatever. You know, and there's going to be a lot of critics of him and a lot of people who are going to back him 100%. But for me, at the same token, I'm, like, looking at that, and I'm going, okay, he's not wearing a mask, so what's the big deal? There's nobody in his area for 6 feet. I just, that's what I don't understand. I don't get it. Like, you know, if you're all practicing social distancing, then why must you wear it for 3 hours? You know, and that's going to be a big point for me. Unfortunately, having a newborn this year, I don't really see, you know, family outing to a Cubs or a Sox game. But at the same token, if I get invited to a Sox or Cubs game or, you know, whatever it is, if I have to sit in the stands for 3 hours with a freaking mask on, I'm not interested in going. You know,
yeah.
It's just same thing with the movie theater. You know, I've had a gift card that's been burning a hole in my pocket for the last year and a half. But if when I go to the movies, I go there to go see a movie in 3D, which you have to have glasses on. Well, and I wear glasses. I just actually went to the eye doctor for contacts for the first time in 10 years. But you know what I mean? So you wear glasses, you put the mask on, it's uncomfortable, and then not even that, you're just sitting there and you go get some popcorn, candy, whatever. You know, do I just stuff it in my mask and then chew on it while I go? You know, so it's like, for my own enjoyment, I'm not doing that because it's just not really enjoyable. You know, I can't even imagine sitting in center field at Wrigley Field in August watching a game and you've got a tank top and shorts on, but yet you got to wear this hot-ass mask to top it. You know what I mean? So it just doesn't – it's not enjoyable for me.
It's also going to make some really weird tan lines, isn't it?
Oh, I didn't even think of that part.
Yeah, no. That'll be
– I wish I could plug this company, though, Big Jack, but I don't know. We haven't seen each other in a while. So I don't know if you're growing a beard again, but they do now make masks that cover the full beard.
Oh, do they?
Yeah.
Yeah, I did let the beard go for the colder weather. Now that it's warming up, we'll probably take it off either this week or the coming weekend. So I did think, you know, I'm sure they're pretty expensive. I haven't looked for them, but I want the mask that looks like your face. Everybody knows. So it looks like you're not wearing it, and it just kind of freaks people out. So, but yeah, no, bring up a good point. I was thinking the exact same thing you were. Imagine being at an outdoor baseball game in July or August. You know, it's 90 whatever, the humidity is 90 whatever. And, you know, so you're obviously, you got your shorts on, you got your tank top on, you're all ready to go. And I got to wear this mask and breathe that hot, heavy air right back into my own face. So that's just going to be a huge, pleasant experience. I mean, even if it's only the, you know, 20% that they're saying may be allowed in games, that's still going to, you know.
Yeah, and that's kind of what I'm saying. I mean, I you know, as a Cubs fan, I have to take this shot because this is what we do, but you know, this is not going to be an issue at whatever the hell they call it, that stadium on the south side of
guaranteed
Chicago now. Yeah, guaranteed rate. So, you know, I got to throw my shot, and it's not going to be an issue there because it's just the way it is. But even that, you know, Sox game, Cubs game, if they're setting things up so that everyone's following this protocol, because obviously neither Jerry or Tom want to lose out, you know, be put on social media, you know how it goes with the way you could, one thing and all of a sudden your whole business is ruined because one guy wasn't wearing a mask while he put a chip in his mouth. You know, neither one of them want to lose out on any of that. They obviously, being in the public eye, want to follow all the protocols. So they're going to do everything they need to do to keep people separated. So I just don't understand when we're watching, and we will see this, Big Jack, we will see groups of people, a family of four, seated in one area, and then 6 feet or more away is going to be, you know, a couple or another family, but yet everyone's going to be wearing masks. And it's like, well, if they're practicing, I mean, I've seen a show on television with a doctor, yes, a doctor, a full MD, who was seeing clients, and they had their 6 feet of space outside. And she told them, you know, she's like, we're safe, we're 6 feet apart, so if you want to take your mask off, take your mask off. If you don't want to, then don't. You know, and everything worked out, and everyone on the show was fine. So we'll see how it goes.
Well, while Dan and I are talking about math, he actually booked a guest for us today. So I am going to try to bring our guest in here. I think the switchboard's working okay. All right, that should have worked. Now, are you there, caller?
Yes, I am, absolutely. How are you guys?
Good. Now, I need your help with this because I didn't want to butcher your name.
And I didn't want to butcher your website name.
So please, could you introduce yourself to everybody here at Sports Time Radio?
Yes, absolutely. So my name is Tolik Bortz, the name of our children's hockey nonprofit organization, well, rather sports nonprofit organization, Ultranight. It is derived from the word altruist or altruism. It's an individual or group of people unselfishly concerned for the welfare of others, for their community members. That's us.
All right, thank you, because we went back and forth a little bit on what the website name was, and I'm so glad that you threw it out there because I want people to get it right. And it's what is it again? One more time.
It is Ultranight, ultrunite.com. So like I said, the word ultra is derived from the word altruist or altruism. And the night, we are Brooklyn natives. So back then we used to call ourselves Brooklynites. So we kind of took those two words, put them together, and Ultranight was born.
So, all right, cool. And now, you know, I read, obviously, you know, you're a nonprofit organization. Can you kind of give us, I don't know, I don't really want to call it a mission statement, but just kind of the idea by getting started and what you're doing with the money you're taking in, and of course, the products you sell.
Yeah, absolutely. So let me just go back and tell you how we got started, if you don't mind. Yeah, so early last year, when at the peak of the pandemic, when everything just began, medical supplies and primarily masks, PPE, were nowhere to be found, we took a little bit of a unique approach. Obviously, a lot of individuals jumped on making masks for the community, and it was all wonderful. Like I said, we took a little bit of a more unique approach. We are huge diehard New York Rangers fans. We took our own New York Rangers t-shirts and jerseys right out of our closet and started cultivating professional cotton and jersey face masks. We started selling them to fans through our social media platforms and then raising the money and donating the leftover material, employees, essential workers, EMS stations, and fire stations. So we kind of it took off a little bit to where some of the athletes online took notice. We started sending them and donating it to them. They were, you know how that goes with the selfies. We started posting them to our sites, and it kind of took off a little more, all the way to the point where the actual New York Rangers team gave us a call, and we made them, each player and the coaching staff, their own custom masks where they displayed them on social media and on TV, and we kind of took it a little bit further, a step from there. We applied it through the federal government and the state government, and launched our own nonprofit organization. So what we do now is primarily we collect new and secondhand sports equipment, as well as raise monetary funds for travel and home teams for children's programs. So, for example, if a family currently isn't working during this tough time and they can't afford for their child to continue with their sport, we raise that fund to pay for that child's registration and cost fee, as well as provide them the necessary equipment, because you know how fast children grow out of their equipment. You know, we figured why throughout this pandemic, and if a family's having a tough time, why stop their sport, or why stop their fine arts program or dance? So that's what we're trying to do within the communities, is continue the journey with the next era, our children. So that's what we're doing now with these programs.
Oh, okay. As of now, are you just in the Brooklyn area, or have you guys been able to expand, your area you're covering?
Yeah, so we're relatively brand new, but yes, we have expanded. So we are in three locations at this moment. We are in upstate capital region, New York, Albany. We are in the New Jersey area, and as well as Brooklyn, New York. So we have a production warehouse and our primary office.
And now all the masks are handmade, and are you involved in that process?
Absolutely. So we take in the donations. Yes, they are all 100% handmade. The cool thing about this project is when we were running low and when we were buying some of these shirts and jerseys for MiBe to continue with this project, when we ran low, our own fans and group members started sending these shirts to us by the dozens, including jerseys as well. And it wasn't only hockey and it wasn't only the New York Rangers. We expanded through all teams and all sports. So we accommodated a wide variety of an industry out there. I mean, it wasn't even only sports. It was anything that a child could possibly think of. We started taking in custom orders. And like I said, we even protected some of these athletes, some ex-NHLers and current teams. So, yeah, I'm involved in the process in regards to the actual designs. And taking in and asking for donations from some of these families and actual organizations. I mean, we've had knitting companies, Michael's, Joanne's. We've had some really good support from the community. So it's kind of like a pay it forward. So as these families continue to contribute, we put it right into our nonprofit and distribute within the community.
And at this point, is it all just mainly working with families and people in New York, or have you moved outside of the state yet?
It is. So right now we are mainly within the tri-state area. In other words, within New York, it's New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut. We began to move out into the Boston and Pennsylvania area. But our main sole purpose now is to expand into other markets so we can provide the assistance for other families in other states, in other communities. So the sole purpose now is to try to expand a little bit here so we can reach a bigger market.
So,
quickly recap. No, it's all right. So, I mean, it's just everything is – did this all happen with over the last year? I mean, if so, one of the things – I'm sure you probably got tired of seeing, just like I did, is all the people blaming 2020 and just focusing on the negative. And I mean, for me personally, my work moved from being in office to being at home full time. So it allowed me more time to spend with my family, doing this podcast with Big Jack. So, I try not to focus on the negative. And from what you're saying, it just seems like all this kind of took off over the last year during this pandemic. And is that true? And, I mean, this is one of those positive things that we need to focus on, not the whole, 2020 was the worst year ever,
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's kind of within the state of New York and the surrounding areas and everyone that we've kind of assisted here. We're kind of known like a Cinderella story. Yes, all the work that we've been providing is actually under a year, because all of the work that we began to start doing, we weren't even registered. So we were just, whatever we were taking in, just donating right back. We actually officially began to be certified, a tax ID was provided to us only in June. So it's a little bit less than a year. But we were sitting out there. I mean, I personally have two jobs. My brother's a co-founder. He's my graphic designer. My wife at home also, thankfully, works from home. So she has that a little bit of leeway to crunch some of our numbers, so she's the financier. So, yeah, I mean, and after we would get home from work, we would continue to reach out and try to network and make connections to continue with our work. If anybody thinks that a non-for-profit is something that's a side gig or something like that, I mean, you got your work cut out for you. So, working hard for this is rewarding, because you get to see a family's or a child's life benefit in such a manner where, I mean, I got three boys of my own, and when I take them to play the sports that they love with their friends, it's like no feeling in the world. You get to see them have fun. You get to watch them learn discipline. Teamwork is very important when they're being coached. So for us, it's tenfold.
And, you know, now I, you know, I was kind of perusing the website and, you know, looking at some of the masks, and I got to tell you, the Adam Graves one with the glare is actually super cool.
That's actually out of his collection, believe it or not. We actually teamed up with Adam Graves and his foundation. What they do is it's Smile Zone. He was actually one of our first partners that we took on. He steered us and got us in the right direction. He's very involved within the community. They rebuild and construct children's hospital and pediatric centers, you know, like in the waiting rooms for kids to interact while they wait for their doctor. But he took us on as a partner, steered us in the right direction, and helped us out here. So it's been quite a ride, but the work and the dream still lives on. We've been teaming up with Mark Messier, who is in process in opening up his own ice skating facility. It's a beautiful center. If you go on Facebook or anywhere else and search Kingsbridge Ice Facility in the Bronx. So we took in about 10 pallets of secondhand and new hockey equipment that we picked up, and now we're in the process of in distribution of all of this equipment to underprivileged families and underserved communities. And he's one of those facilities that we're going to be donating it to.
And now, do you accept, you know, public donations? Is there a place they could, you know, because obviously being the podcast is going to go out, you know, basically worldwide. Is there a place they could send you stuff if anybody's interested in donating to you?
Oh, my God, absolutely. So just like we distribute all this, whatever comes in or whatever goes out, we were looking to have donors and sponsors and partners. So, yes, it is Ultranite, ultranite.com. We just designed that beautiful website. On the top right-hand corner, there is a donate button. It's used to help us, I mean, to rent trucks, to fill up gas, to pay for volunteers when we can't find any. So the monetary funds, as quick as they go in, sometimes they go out for our events. So, yes, we are in the need of some assistance. Anyone that would like to partner up with us and help cause in our mission, so it would be greatly appreciated. Yes, so again, it is ultranite.com, Ultranite. And we are across all three social media platforms, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, Ultranite.
Yeah, and then, you know, we'll make sure, of course, to get it out on the, you know, Sports Time
Thank
Radio
you, boys.
Facebook
Thank
page.
You.
To you know, so people can look that way forward as well. Now, do you have an event or anything coming up at this time? You guys got anything planned?
We do. We just so happen to have an event coming up for Labor Day, beginning of September. We are partnering up with Adam Graves, and we are going to be participating actually as a team. Playing with Adam Graves, it's a 24-hour hockey event that Adam Graves hosts and raises money for. So believe it or not, and the X amount of teams joins and they play all around. So pretty much 24 hours, whenever your schedule comes up. So if your team plays at 3 a.m., you got to be on the ice at 3 a.m. and playing another team. It's really, really cool. So it's going to be on Labor Day in Long Island, and Adam Graves has graciously asked us to participate, so we'll be raising funds through that event, and you will be able to get some information on ultranite.com for that as well.
So, and are you going to play, or are you just going to look for donations and stuff?
I am. My brother and I will be participating, yes. We're going to be playing actually alongside of Adam, so we will be doing both. We'll be fundraising and prior to the game, and then we're going to have our volunteers fundraising at the event. And my brother and I will be on the same line with Adam.
Oh, boy. Well, there you go.
Yeah.
That's got a dream come true.
Humbly so, yes. I mean, it's just been, like I said, a humbling experience so far. Being a longtime New York Rangers fan, and here we are just within a year, We're pretty much on the phone with them and emailing them as if we were either associates or even better friends. So it is actually 100% a dream come true.
Well, that's great.
Thank you, sir.
You know, and then how do you feel about the team this year as we kind of move in more to your fandom-wise as a hockey fan? How do you think the Rangers are here?
Not good so far. We're one of the youngest teams in the NHL right now. I don't have huge expectations because we've been through this kind of long, winding rebuild. But, I mean, if you're a fan, you always believe and you always want to keep on the positive side. But as of now, to be quite honest, I think a winning team needs to absolutely have one of the best chemistry just to succeed or to win on a daily basis. They just don't quite have that yet. So I myself personally are being very patient and waiting for the coach to formulate some really, really good lines with some chemistry and get the right pieces together in the puzzle, because I think we still are holding on to some players that I personally don't believe are meshing with the rest of our youth. Our youth right now is the core. I believe it is our future. I think that's going throughout every single sport, including hockey. So as opposed to being all about the veterans and the older guys pushing the teams up, right now everything is about the college kids coming up. So you better hold on to them. You better train them. I mean, they're kids. They really are just kids coming out 18, 19 years old. They're still learning. I mean, who isn't? But I think we still got a long road ahead for the New York Rangers, that's for sure.
So, yeah. Now, you know, we don't get a ton of Ranger games here. You know, we only get them if they're on, you know, NBC or if the sports channel happens to carry one. But Dan and I both, you know, we both have fantasy hockey teams. Is there, you know, an underrated guy that maybe we're looking over on the Rangers that we should get on the waiver wire and see if he's available in our league?
Well, obviously, the guy that I'm going to talk about now is not underrated. He's actually, I mean, he's a fantastic player, and that's Artemi Panarin, who's going through a little bit of international controversy of drama there. He took a leave of absence due to being accused of some kind of assault that happened from a year ago from his ex-coach, who's an outspoken Putin supporter, And unfortunately, Panarin on social media or in a Russian interview outspoke how much he's against. So it looks like that was an outcry of revenge. So biggest advantage had last year, I mean, one of our top goal scorers, one of the league's top goal scorers, is not producing right now very well. But I think he's going to have a pretty good breakout year. And there's a couple of guys on our team as well, Kapokako. And Alexis Lafreniere. Watch for those guys. Remember those names. You're going to be hearing them in the household a lot. So those are the guys that I would pick up on my fantasy personally.
So yeah, you know, we always need kids. Hockey is kind of our weak sport. So
yeah. Oh, that's exactly what we're doing here. We're trying to grow this sport within our communities. A lot of kids when they pick it up, they absolutely fall in love with it. One of our missions here is to get kids involved and try the sport out.
Now, is it a big challenge in New York with that? I mean, growing up where I'm from, you know, hockey in southwest the suburbs of Chicago wasn't – I wouldn't say it wasn't huge, but it was expensive to get into. And then, you know, one of the biggest deterrents was – the lack of ice time, seeing as you guys get bumped for
right.
You know, figure skating and open skates or whatever. You know, I remember sitting next to my friend in high school who's, you know, passing out in first period. I'm like, what's going on, bro? He's like, man, we had ice time at 10:30 last night. I didn't get home till 1. You know?
Yeah. There's no problems here with ice time. I mean, we're just getting over a pretty – to me, it's a great winter because it gets cold, so – I pray for really good winters in terms of the temperature being cold. I mean, if it just snows and pummels or rain and just kind of mildly cold, then that serves no purpose to us. But if it does get below zero for a couple of weeks and months on end, we actually get to skate on ponds and lakes and people and in the backyards. We can make our own, you know. So there's no problem here in New York State at all, or the surrounding areas where it does get cold. But you'll be surprised. I would give it another 10 years where hockey is growing and fast. So you're going to start to see it being very popular and a lot more rinks popping up in every community there.
All right. Well, what I really got to know is when you and your brother drop the gloves, because I know that probably happened. Who wins?
It never happened because we've always played on the same team together. But if it would have happened, he is a year younger than I am. He's always been a little bit more, shoulder heavy and hand heavy. So I think he would have took me down on that one.
Is he around? Can you hear you say? Did he just hear that?
No, he's I hope not, but hopefully if this podcast here is shareable in the future or now, we'll see. Maybe I'll give him one for his birthday coming up.
So, all right, well, I'm sure probably have tons of work to do, but we want to thank you for your time. But before we let you go, can you plug everything one more time for us?
Absolutely, guys. And before I do go, I really want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for providing us a platform. Like I said, your time and your effort of sitting down with us and helping us to spread the love here. So it really means a lot to us, even if we reach one family, one organization, one business, to either for us to assist them or for someone to donate to us. So it really does mean the world. So it is Ultranight, ALTRUNITE.com. Ultranight. And you can find us on all social media platforms as well.
Great. Well, thanks for your time. We appreciate it. And, you'll have to keep us updated. Come back and give us updates with what's going on.
That would be fantastic, guys. Thank you so much again. Have a wonderful, wonderful
right.
rest of your night.
You too.
You too. Thank you.
So, there you go. And, like I mentioned, we'll link everything to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page and the feed and stuff so you can check that out. But that's pretty cool. Sounds like they're helping out kids, which is really nice. I was a volunteer coach for many years, so I understand the struggle some families have. And, pretty soon, buddy, you're going to be going through that when the kids want to play, whatever it is. So,
we actually, my daughter signed up for T-ball this summer, but I'm not coaching. I did that for soccer last year. No, I'm not ready for coaching.
Again, that's all. If you want to check that out. So get on over there, see if you can help. But all right, well, swinging back to our sports, our other sports here, you mentioned you watched the NASCAR race yesterday, and we had another, I don't know, a surprise winner, but William Byron gets the win, really had the best car. He led, it was 102 laps, pretty much dominated the race. So he wins his way into the championship. So again, like I said, another little bit of a surprise guy, not a guy that a lot of guys have heard of. What's your kind of takeaway from the race?
I mean, same for me, kind of only knowing the bigger names. When Byron got up there, I was kind of taken back. Who is this guy? I haven't heard this name in the last 2 weeks. So, I will say the one thing that killed me, and I have to download, and I don't know if you downloaded the Fox Super Sports Bet where you can win Clint's money. But, I believe it was the second stage, the poll was, which car is going to, or, which brand manufacturer is going to win the second stage. And I mean, with Martin Truex kind of just for that, was it the first, he wasn't the first full stage, but I know pretty much the second stage, he was dominating. So, you know, and then he was followed by, was it Denny? I think Hamlin was not Hamlin. Wasn't Hamlin? Someone in a Ford. But you had a bunch of Chevys kind of behind them in the top 10. And in my head, I'm like, you know, me, because I have two Chevy, I was going to pick Chevy just for the hell of it, but I didn't download the app in time. And, you know, and let's be honest, when you're watching that second stage, you were like, there's no way Truex is losing this stage. No way. This is his. And he lost the second stage to Byron. So, I mean, you know, the more I watch NASCAR, I think, you know, the more exciting it gets because, you know, I'm starting to understand just kind of how things work. But not only that, I mean, the way that track was set up yesterday, it's just crazy how, you know, some guys fall back. I mean, I can't remember if it was the beginning of the third stage, but after that one caution, Truex started in 17th. It wasn't the third stage. And by the time the race ended, on the restart, he started at 17th. And then I think one lap around, and he's already in fifth place. So, I mean, NASCAR's I don't want to say a crazy sport, because obviously it is. These guys are driving 200-plus miles an hour, whether it's in a circle and a track or a road track. I mean, it's crazy in that instance. But, I mean, the outcomes of this, I don't know. I think it's – this sport is harder to predict than the others. Would you say that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. Well, you know, and you look at it, I mean, you look at some of the guys who led multiple laps, you know, like early on, boy, man, it looked like Chris Buescher was just going to, you know, was going to just, you know, dominate the race. He ended up leading 57 laps, but as, you know, the track changes and they went from day to night, his car really started to struggle and he ended up finishing 19th. Where Denny Hamlin went the opposite, while he didn't lead any laps, those first, you know, or that first stage, and then really for most of the second, they couldn't figure out what was going on with that car. The final stage, all of a sudden it comes alive and he works his way all the way back to 11th. Now, you know, for a guy like Hamlin, that's not a great finish, but from where he was to where he went was just amazing. And, you know, you just never know. And, you know, in all honesty, you got to wonder if the race was laps longer, the way Tyler Reddick's car came on, you got to wonder if it would have been a drag race between him and Byron for the win.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you what? Just never know. But you know, you start looking, I mean, William Byron and Tyler Reddick finished 1 and 2. I'd love to know anybody who had that.
Yeah. I mean, I can't think off the top of my head right now, and their app is not great at telling you the results from the race. They give you point totals. Like, it's for the season, not the race. But, you know, there was names down in the 20s, and I'm like, no, this guy finishes in the top 10. What the hell happened? We didn't even really have shutdown crashes the other day. So, I mean, it was an interesting race. This track, you know, it's amazing how it's just a big circle, right? But with this track, it just opens up where, you know, having those, being able to get to three rows is interesting to begin with. But then seeing a guy go high and then another guy go low, and then all of a sudden you're thinking the guy on top is going to stay in the lead and he loses it. I mean, how many times did we see that yesterday where, you know, someone makes that pass and is lucky, very lucky that they didn't get wrecked. I forget who it was. They were teammates, I believe. But, you know, Clint and Jeff both pointed out in that one situation where, you know, if the guy who got passed would have did anything to the car in front of him, he'd have been out of the race too. So you got to pick and choose when you're going to give those guys your nice bump.
Yeah, well, you know, like they had 25 cars finish on the lead lap, which is a huge number. You know, and Joey Logano actually finished 25th. He started second. His car looked really good early. You know, he led 12 laps, but then it went away and never came back. you know, and you just know, you know, yeah, you just never know, like, when that's going to happen to a driver. So, yeah, you know, and it was like, oh, okay, cool. What, you know, where'd he go? So, but yeah, you know, I mean, what I really like about this year is coming into pretty much any race now, man, you don't know who's going to win. And it's just like, oh, okay.
Yeah, and do you think that the fact that some, you know, like I noticed for the first time, Kasey Kahne is gone. He's no longer racing. You know, we're not seeing Jimmy Johnson. Both the Busch brothers are still there, I think, even though a lot of people want one of them or both of them gone. You know, is that kind of changing the landscape of things? That landscape of things in NASCAR right now with the added just additional new racers, or some of the big names are just kind of falling off? I mean, obviously Jeff and Clint aren't racing anymore, and you know, is that what's making a big change? And then we're only three races in, and I believe you said there's only 15 playoff qualifiers. So, I mean, how is that going to affect it? Because, I mean, with these new names, you know, what are the odds that Byron McMurray and number two winner, I forgot who it was already, wins another race?
Yeah, you know, it's, you know, God, with the way Byron looked yesterday, you know, they go to a lot of tracks that are similar to this Miami one. So if they found something, he's got an opportunity to win some races. You know, again, and that, you know, obviously we don't know if it was just the, you know, right place, right time kind of situation, or if they did find something. But,
yeah,
you know, I mean, you know, I think I mentioned this before, you know, in the NFL they call this parity. And this could make NASCAR really exciting. You know, obviously over the last few years they've lost some big names. You know, we've seen Tony Stewart, Jeff Gordon, and Jimmy Johnson retire. You know, you throw in guys like Carl Edwards and Matt. So, you know, there's, you know, big shoes to be filled. And, you know, Byron driving the 24 car, of course, made famous by Jeff Gordon. You know, I didn't even mention Dale Earnhardt Jr. I don't know how the hell I forgot that one. I think that the coverage is on Fox, but I didn't hear it broadcast. But so, yeah, I mean, there's a chance for NASCAR to really make some, you know, some new stops here. And if you can get a guy like, be it Byron or, you know, Reddick or, you know, one of the other guys to win multiple races, Christopher Bell, you know, they could, you know, kind of get their name up there in their head and fans will start taking notice. So I think NASCAR's in a really interesting spot. You know, they're almost kind of at a changeover point. You know, they still have some name value guys, but the young guys are starting to come through the ranks, and you know, we'll have to see which one of them makes a name for themselves.
Now for you personally, I mean, I, you know, obviously I know that you've owned Chevy's, you know, was it, has it been in the last 10 years now?
Yes.
So, I mean, where do you fall on this? Is it more the manufacturer? Do you go for a guy you like? You know, is it a color scheme? You know, what kind of – I'm still trying to figure out who my guys are. I'm rolling with the Chevys for now, you know, and then keeping my eye on Bubba Wallace. I wish, you know, just because he's on Michael Jordan's team, I kind of wish there could be some more to his racing, you know, so I hope to see him advance. But how do you go about finding your guy, so to speak?
Yeah, you know, I'm not so much loyal to, like, one manufacturer. I mean, obviously, you know, since I have owned a Chevy for many years now, I do, you know, I want to see them do good. But, you know, like I'm one of the few people, you know, out there that doesn't mind when a guy like Kyle Busch wins. I don't have any issue with Kyle Busch, but I'm also a sucker, and this has just always been something I've always done. I'm a sucker for the underdog. So, you know, I like to see the guys like, you know, a Matt DiBenedetto do really well. You know, if he goes out and has a great race, because, you know, he's with the Wood Brothers, who is a historic NASCAR team. You know, like when Michael McDowell won the Daytona 500, I thought that was just cool. You know, I thought that was really awesome. So, you know, I'm kind of, you know, I kind of end up rooting for those lesser known guys. So that's what's made the year even more exciting for me, because these seem to be the kind of guys that are winning a race. So that, you know, that makes it a lot of fun. But yeah, you know, I'm not so much, you know, well, we, you know, I have to root for this guy because he drives that, or, you know, vice versa. So.
Now, was there, you know, was it the road race? I think it was the road race where I noticed the pit issues. I did, I'll be honest, you know, I was home alone, and I was laying on the couch with the dog, so I did miss a significant portion of the third stage to a little snooze. But was there any determining factors that changed the outcome of the race, you know, be it, like, the second race, you know, I forget who it was, but the Toyotas and Denny pitted at the wrong time, and it totally took him out of it. You know, he led like the whole freaking race, or was that the Daytona, whichever, I guess it doesn't matter. Well, was there anything that really helped determine, like, made things change as to why Byron got into the lead? I mean, but, you know, towards the end, he was just tearing it up. He almost had 5 seconds on everybody.
Yeah, no, you know, what got him the win yesterday was he was really good on the restarts, you know, coming out of the cautions and stuff. You know, he was right on, and he was hitting his marks, and, you know, everything was going his way. So that, you know, that worked out really well for him. I don't think there were any major, like, pit road issues, and, you know, as you know, as we know, there were no, you know, big accidents. So, you know, that was a, really kind of cool to see. It's always nice when the guys can get out and race, and, you know, it's not just restart after restart after restart. So
yeah,
you know, that's a big deal.
I mean, there was one driver who did screw themselves on, was it speeding in the pit zone? So they got pushed back to the line, back to the end of the line when they had a restart.
Yeah, I don't remember who it was, but, you know, there was somebody. I always, you know, it's always tough to remember with, you know, the race going on, who gets penalty stuff, but. Yeah, it was you know, Williams Byron's day. He had the car, he drove really well, and, you know, that was it, and, you know, now he gets to go to the playoffs. So
now, you know, one of my last inquisitive questions for you, but is this typical of NASCAR to where the season opens up and it's not, you know, we're not seeing as many of the cautions and the wrecks so soon right now. You know, it seemed like to me last year, later on in the season, you know, it does get difficult to watch some of the races when, you know, you go 3 laps and then you're at a caution. And then, you know, they finally get a restart. And then on the restart, you know, 6 cars in the middle just crash. You know what I mean? So is this just luck right now with the way NASCAR is going? Everyone's fresh, or is this kind of typical of a NASCAR season where they open up the season, everyone's pretty fresh, So, you know, not to say that they're driving better, but, you know, they haven't driven, you know, 1,000, you know, 10,000 miles over 3 months, you know.
You know, I think a lot depends on, you know, Daytona is notorious for, you know, having the big one, and they're always multiple tracks. You know, and with the road courses, you're going to get accidents because obviously it's difficult to pass on some of those, you know, some of those turns when a guy's trying to make a move that, you know, probably shouldn't have made, but he wanted the spot and he thought he had the car. So, you know, we're going to see those. But like with, you know, Homestead Miami yesterday, you know, you saw it. They ran three wide, in some cases four wide. And I actually remember seeing a couple guys five wide. So, you know, there's room to run. There's different lines and different way a driver can, you know, enter a corner. So they're all not looking for the spot like on some tracks. You know, Vegas, where they go next week, is set up similar to Homestead. So hopefully it'll be a very similar race. And, you know, we won't have a ton of wreck. What'll be interesting is as the schedule moves on, they go, they're in Las Vegas, then they go to Phoenix and Atlanta, which are big speedways. So they should be okay there, but at the end of the month, they're going to Bristol, which is, I believe, the smallest track on the schedule. And not only are they going to Bristol, but they're going to race in the dirt. So that is going to be nuts, and I'm going to assume that there's going to be a lot of contact and a lot of accidents.
So basically what you're saying is you need to watch Bristol. If you miss the next couple races, you know.
If you can't watch them all, make sure you see on March 28th to watch Bristol. Okay. So, you know, that's, you know, Bristol, when they go to Bristol and when they go to, like, Martinsville, where the tracks are smaller, the action really heats up.
Mm-hmm.
So, you've got to, you know, those are, you know, if you're a short track fan, which I really do enjoy, those are the tracks you need to get into and watch. And, you know, it's beating and banging, and it's surprising if a car can come out of there unscathed. So hopefully you'll be free to watch this, and it'll be a good time. But, you know, again, not everybody's a short track. Guys like some fans like the bigger, wide open, super speedway tracks as well. So, or the road courses. So you enjoy the road courses a bit. So, there's a little room for everybody.
Now, you know, you had mentioned kind of the scheduling NASCAR was doing. Are you surprised that they did a month technically in Florida, and instead of just going straight up to Georgia, they're going out west and then coming back east?
Yeah, no, you know, they had planned this last year that they wanted to stay in Florida to start making a change. You know, even a little bit. So, you know, they made this decision a long time ago. I am a little surprised they're going to come back. You know, Vegas, Phoenix, and then they come back. I thought maybe they would stay east, but I guess, you know, they're just looking for, you know, I guess maybe they were worried about weather. So,
yeah.
We'll have to see.
I don't know. I was just curious because, you would think they would have gone from Miami up, you know, up back up to Atlanta, and maybe headed west gradually.
I'm not sure.